Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to a Monday edition of the Two of the First podcast. I'm Ryan Balgi. Thanks for joining us. Hope you had a great weekend, whether you enjoyed the golf, whether you didn't, whether you played some golf, whether you didn't. I was able to get away for a Sunday round of golf up in New Jersey, played with our contributor and friend, Jay Flemma, who's celebrating his birthday, or at least observing it. And we went to one of his favorite places to play, Forest Gate Country Club, which is in Forest Gate, New Jersey. It's just off exit 8A on the New Jersey Turnpike. It is an incredible country club. It is one of the hidden gems of America. It really is. I know we talk about lots of places that are hidden gems that kind of become woke and cool and almost to the point that they stop being woke and cool. This is not one of those places. Forest Gate Country Club is just a beautiful hidden secret. It's a Charles Banks design. There's an Arnold Palmer course as well, but the real star is the Charles Banks design. And he implements so many wonderful template style holes and just a myriad of different types of green complexes. Some you recognize, some maybe you don't. And it's always in good condition. It's very reasonable to be a member there. It's reasonable to play there as a golfer of any skill level. Had a great time with Jay and a couple of his friends, and it was just a special round. I was very happy to be able to get to go out there. So hopefully you got to be able to get some golf in for yourself or watch some golf. And we've got two stories for you today. One, I didn't expect to do this earlier in the day, and this morning when I was getting ready to do the show and thinking about stuff I wanted to do, I had to run some errands this morning, and was thinking, all right, well, we're going to talk about the BMW PGA Championship, of course. That was the big event of the week. Maybe we'll talk about the Sanderson Farms on results Monday. I think we're just going to ding on the BMW PGA, but first I got to get something off my chest here, and this is a bit of a story because we're going to do something about this at Golf News Now. We're going to talk about it. But I got an email in my inbox this morning from the folks at Nicholas Design, Jack Nicholas's design firm. They are very nice people. The folks at Nicholas's team, Scott Cooley, is very good, very helpful. They make resources available when you need them. That's not the issue here. But the issue here is an enormous conflict of interest in the way Nicholas Design presented something, and it's not just them, but I want to dig into it so you can kind of understand a little bit more about this. So Nicholas Design sent out an email, I believe, to their just mailing list. So if you're just on their mailing list, you're not a media person, you're just an interested party, they sent out a newsletter that says, Nicholas Design courses come up big on Golf Magazine's new top 100 list. There is a huge conflict of interest here, and it's not one that's disclosed, and it's not one necessarily everyone knows. There is a company called 8AM Golf. It is owned by a gentleman named Howard Milstein, and he's done very well for himself over the years and has become a confidant of Jack Nicklaus and has worked with his companies. But Howard Milstein also purchased Golf Magazine a number of years ago, and his 8AM Golf is a holding company, effectively, that runs the Nicklaus companies, True Spec Golf, Club Connects, which is kind of a fitter's connection tool. They run Mira Golf here in the United States, and they also own Golf Magazine. That's five companies, all related to one. And in this message, the Nicklaus Design folks are saying, Nicklaus Design, which is part of the Nicklaus companies, which is run by 8AM Golf, did well on Golf Magazine's top 100 list, which is also run by 8AM Golf. There's no disclosure in here, really. the average person would read, at least. I didn't even see one, but I'll offer a caveat in case there was one, that an average person reading this would understand that Golf Magazine and Nicholas Design are directly related and directly benefit each other from this message. And it's just unethical. I mean, let's call it what it is. It's unethical to put this kind of messaging out there. And you might go, oh, well, Ryan, this is just an email newsletter. No one gives a crap about an email newsletter. Well, this isn't the first time that Golf Magazine and Nicholas Design have been caught in a flimsy recognition of transparency or a total lack of it. So the renovation of the year, I believe last year, for Golf Magazine, or going into this year, whatever, was a Nicholas course. And in no mention of the renovation of the year, at least initially, was the fact that the two companies are directly related and have a direct relationship. And it becomes an enormous conflict of interest to be able to say the Nicholas renovation, I mean, there were tremendous renovations around the country, first of all. It was absurd on its face. But then to be able to come up with this and then not even bother to mention the conflict of interest, I just find that brazen. I find that unacceptable. I'm not okay with that. And you as a golf fan should not be okay with that. You as a golf fan who consumes golf news, you have to be given the truth. And I don't mean like in a conspiratorial sense. I don't think there's a massive conspiracy to shroud some truths or stuff from you, the average golfer, or a golf consumer, or a knowledgeable golf consumer. I don't think that that's what's happening here. But the lack of ethics and transparency here is alarming, because there is this expectation, at least from me, that you, as a consumer, should know all of my conflicts of interest. You should know when someone advertises with me. You should know when someone pays to send me on a trip, on a fam trip. When I'm going to Horseshoe Bay in a couple weeks, that's a fam trip. Flight, accommodations, golf, paid for. And I will tell you that in any article or comment I make about it. Does that mean it necessarily biases my thinking about the place? Not necessarily. It could. I don't know. It could. So I have to disclose it. And you have to know that about what I'm doing in advance, and then you can make your mind up for yourself. And if I come out on the side that Horseshoe Bay is a tremendous place and I had a great time there, I probably had a great time there regardless, because for one, I am very picky about the trips that I go on. And I only go with people I trust and people whose recommendations I believe in. But you still need to know, even if my opinion were going to be the same regardless, that I went on a trip paid for by someone else's budget. Just the same I need to tell you when people advertise with me. Just the same I need to tell you when people provide sponsored content or I write content for someone as part of a sponsorship deal, or that they just happen to be in the piece and they are sponsored, or we have worked together recently. You need to know those things. Those disclosures are important. They are a part of ethics. And I realize golf is and you probably realize this too, golf is perhaps a huge sport around the world, but the community of golf, especially professional people working in golf, is rather small. And there is a very large overlap between people working in a business level, trying to present golf to the public in some fashion, people working in PR and media, and then the average golfer, club members, things like that, public golfers. There's a huge overlap in all of that. And it is the media's job to be able to disclose what those relationships are, particularly when it involves themselves. I think that is the bare minimum you should be able to do. And yes, because golf is such a small game, incestuous even in some senses, there are going to be unavoidable conflicts of interest at times. It's just the way that it is. I wish it weren't that way, but it is the way that it is. When you are a golf media publication, or you are a golf media company, or you are a golf influencer, whatever, however you make money communicating stories about golf to the public, the most likely direct sponsors of you are people who work in golf. And if you're covering the sport, there is a very realistic chance that you could cover one of their clients, or you could cover someone who has worked with you in the past, or someone who has paid you money in the past, or provided you goods and services gratis in the past. And unless you make those disclosures as upfront and as frequent as possible, and a reasonable level, of course. I mean, you don't just disclose it every second. But if you tell people upfront what you're doing and your potential conflict of interest, your potential bias, then they can assess for themselves. They can decide if it comes through that you are being genuine, that you have not been unduly influenced by that either direct monetary relationship, by a trip payment or an equipment, an equipment review being equipment provided to you, whether you have accommodations or golf provided to you. You need to be able to tell that to the public so that they can believe what you're saying. And when this kind of stuff happens, it devalues the rest of us. It devalues the rest of media. And maybe I don't want to be too accusatory here, because I don't know what's in the heart of the people who run 8 a.m. golf, and I don't know what's in the heart of the people at Nicholas Design. But this is wrong, and you just have to call it for what it is. This is wrong, and this is what needs to be done about it. You need to put in the first paragraph about this particular email, whether you ever see it or not, is kind of unimportant. But the first paragraph in something like this should say, note, 8 a.m. Golf operates Nicholas Companies and owns Golf Magazine. And then you can just go on from there, and you can choose to read it or not. You can choose to roll your eyes or not. Or you can choose to say, you know what, Jack Nicklaus has done some lovely designs around the world, and he has made some fantastic golf courses. I'm sure there are some that belong in a top 100 list of some kind. I don't know what the full top 100 list was. And that you can kind of just then know you're being informed that there are biases in here. Cool. All right, we're done. There are other biases that you don't necessarily have to disclose. You could say, I can tell you very openly, I am not a fan of Greg Norman golf course design. So if I were going to put together a top 100 list of courses that could somehow include Greg Norman, it is very unlikely a Greg Norman design is going to make that list. But that's my personal opinion. It's not been influenced by money. It hasn't been influenced by someone else's underhandedness. It's been influenced by the fact that I've played a bunch of Greg Norman courses and I haven't liked any of them yet. So there's a difference, and you need to know that. You need to know that as a golf consumer. You need to know that as someone who is taking in the game and reading about places and hearing about places and equipment and what to do, what to play, and what to see. And I just needed to get that off my chest, because I work very hard to make sure I can disclose as much as I can and be as upfront with people about the things that I'm doing, not only public-facing, but private-facing. And to have something like this come up and then just kind of shoot that to bits, because they're one of the bigger media companies in our space and in our game, that just does not work for me. And I am not okay with that. So I am going to go on a bit of a mission today to try to inform as many people as possible about conflicts of interest in our game and what needs to be done about them. All right, our second story today, we're not going to do an ad read today, because I just feel kind of dirty doing an ad read after talking about ethics and golf reporting. So I want to get to the BMW PGA Championship. It was the best tournament of the week. It wasn't even close. There were 64 points on offer to the winner in the official world golf ranking. That was about 2.5, close to two, and actually was 2.5 times the Sanderson Farms Championship, which was very entertaining. It was a good field. Sebastian Munoz won first hole of the playoff against Sungjae Im, who was looking for his first win of his own. Cool. Birdie finish. Very dramatic, very interesting, and a good little run for the last couple of weeks of having guys from Latin America win, with Munoz being from Colombia and Joaquin Niemann the week prior from Chile. Pretty cool to have that happen. I don't remember the last time that's happened. You would have to look that up. I don't have that at my immediate disposal, but my eyes were fixed on the BMW PGA Championship. As we've talked about, they made the move from May to September, basically the second the PGA of America said they would move the PGA Championship from August to May, and the players would move from May to March. The European Tour just saw the writing on the wall and said, you know what? We got to make this move. We got to do this for us. We've been in the shadow of the players ever since it went to May. But that seemed kind of like a capitulation to the PGA Tour to say, we're going to move our players' championship because your players' championship is better. You can't do that. I understand saving face in that point. But with the PGA of America moving their major championship to your month, your part of the year, then you have much more grounds to say, you know what, we're going to let the major breathe. We'll take September. We will take the fall. And the European Tour has done that. They've got that event this week. They've got the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship this week, which is their equivalent of the Pebble Beach Pro-Am. You've got 168 players in the field, all with amateur partners. They're playing Kings Barnes, Carnoustie, and the Old Course. You finish up on the Old Course on Sunday. Hard to beat that. And then you've got the French Open. You've got, I believe, the Italian Open still to go, which is a Rolex Series event. You've got the final three events on the calendar, the Turkish Airlines Open, the Nedbank Golf Challenge, and the DP World Tour Championship in Dubai. Those final three events have enormous first place payouts, even given their purse, like $2.5 and $5 million to the winner. And then the rest of the purse is paid out normally, which is crazy, but really interesting. And you had this event as kind of the kickoff for that run of tournaments. Danny Willett wins. He wins by three. He birdies the last, hits a great second shot into 18. They finish on back-to-back par fives. It's 34-37 in terms of the scorecard at Wentworth. So you're finishing hard on par fives. And for him to just be able to hit that shot, I mean, he was up two, I think, on John Rahm at that point. And he decides to go for the green and two, take the wedge out of play, take any potential problems out of play. Because if you put, there's a big kind of winding river area, you know, stream area in front of the green. So if you hit it in the stream, you're dropping and hitting four. You could get up and down very easily and make five or six at worst. You're still going to win the tournament. And if you lay up and then you kind of start messing around, all of a sudden, you can find yourself in trouble. So Willett made the right aggressive play. He hit the green. He two-putt. He won 120 under total for his biggest win since the 2016 Masters. In the span of less than a year, he has won twice. He won the DP World Tour Championship last year in a bit of a shocker. He's contended a couple of different times in big spots this year in majors and worldwide events. And to get this win, it just kind of, I don't want to call it a completion of a comeback, but maybe that's what it is. He's now in the top 35 in the world again. He had fallen out of the top 100 toward the tail end of 2017. In 2018, the first half of the year, first 26 weeks of the year, he played something like 12 times and made two cuts. And he had fallen to just disastrous depths in the official world golf ranking. Had fallen down all the way, and it was pretty bad. I mean, he's at that point looking at 462nd in the official world golf ranking. And then he kind of started to make the climb up. He had missed the cut at the BMW PGA to fall to that number. He had a good finish in a weak event and then just kind of started to kind of climb back a little bit, got back into position to win the DP World Tour Championship, which that was kind of an emotional win for him. And you could tell because of he had been through injury, he had been through self-doubt, he had been through falling down, and all of a sudden he's back, and I just think that's a really cool story. And you can think what you want about Danny Willett's 2016 Masters win. You can consider it a fluke. I really don't, especially after what happened with Tiger winning the Masters this year. Tiger won the Masters on the back of failure of other players to get over Race Creek on 12. Without that happening around and in front of him, he doesn't win the Masters. And the same thing for Danny Willett. Without someone falling apart, Jordan Spieth, he doesn't win, maybe, but you still have to play the golf. You still have to play the golf course. You still have to win the tournament. And I think that this kind of gives him a little bit more, these two things give him a little bit more credit. Tiger winning the Masters with Francesco Molinari vomiting all over him. Same with Tony Finau, Webb Simpson for that matter. And then you have this win here, which is a big deal. So it got him to number 31 in the world. He was 58 last week. He ended the year 81st in 2018. So he has moved up 50 spots in the world this year. He still has some stuff to go. And it's been a good year for this guy. I mean, he's not that far away from the top 20 in the world. In part because if you look at the results he's throwing away, all of them stink. I mean, if you look at his results, basically everything that he does for the first half of next year is going to give him a big boost in the world ranking, because so many of them, those were the missed cuts. That was the bad part of the year. The only shining light is in week 22 from 2018, which was the T8 at the Italian Open. That's it. Everything else is kind of skunky until you get into really the end of 2018. So everything that he does from here is a big win. Now, obviously, he didn't have the best year in the world. I'm not saying that, but if you look at what he did in the final two majors of the year, tied for 6th in the Open, tied for 12th in the U.S. Open, T41 in the PGA Championship, missed the cut at the Masters. So his time frame around the Masters was not very good, to be honest. March and April were not his best months. He missed 5 out of 6 cuts between March and April. But then he put it all together, and now he is back in a position where he's a winner again. I think that's incredible. I love comeback stories like this. I love just seeing guys realize how difficult golf is. Maybe when you have a moment of success, maybe you don't feel like it's well-deserved. And I'm on record saying I figured Danny Willett would be a guy that would spend the rest of his life trying to prove to himself and to everyone else that he deserved to win the Masters. And to that point, late last year, it looked like that was going to be the case between injury and other problems and just the kind of psychological weight of it all. And it turns out, no, that was not it. He is a guy who's capable of coming back from the depths. He's capable of winning on big stages. And this felt like a big stage. The BMW PGA Championship hasn't felt this big in a while, to be honest with you. Maybe even going back to, you know, sometime in the 2000s when you had Chubby Chandler kind of masterminding the top players to avoid playing the Players Championship to give this a little bit of a boost. But then in between those years and really this year, the fields weren't awful. I mean, they weren't hideous, but you were getting really bad depth of field. And you just had a couple of top names kind of boosted, and the world ranking points were there because this is designated as the European Tour's flagship event. And if you're someone like Keith Pelley, who is the chief executive of the European Tour, and said a number of years ago that he does not consider this tournament his flagship event, he considered the season-ending tour championship his flagship event, I think he's got to be able to say today that's totally different. That's totally different. The way this field worked out was great. You got a number of American players to come over. Billy Horschel came over. He is an affiliate member. You had Tony Finau, affiliate member. You had Patrick Reed play, who is a full member. Maybe you get Xander Schauffele next year. You get Victor Hovland, who came over and made his European Tour debut, finished tied for 11th place. And you kind of surround that with the good players from Europe who are already going to be a part of this. You had John Rahm, Rafa Cabrera-Bello, Justin Rose, Paul Casey, Rory McIlroy, who backdoored his way into a top 10 finish, y'all. He opened with 76, looked like it was going to be horrible, didn't want to talk to the media after the first round, went 69, 65, 67 to slip in there for T9 with Andrew Johnston. Beef, who has had a nice comeback year of his own. He's dealt with a whole lot of problems with fame and trying to figure out who he is and what he wants to represent. Another cool comeback story. Shane Lowry, T11, the Open champion with a nice finish. Francesco Molinari, who has not had the best year this year, coming off the best of his life last year. T14 with Erik van Rooyen and Kurt Kitayama, the American, who has a win on the European Tour. Bernd Wiesberger, Henrik Stenson, Shubhankar Sharma, who had a really good chance to win this tournament, but shot 76 on Sunday to blow himself out of it. This was a great field, a really good tournament, and it felt important. And I like that about this event. I like that there is a balance, an offset to the PGA Tour, and that you can have good golf in the fall, and it doesn't have to feel like it's about money and only money. This felt prestigious. It felt important. And it is. I mean, it is, in European circles, a very important tournament. But in the United States, it felt important. And I want that to be the case. I hope people pay attention to the Nunhill Links this week. It is a super fun tournament to watch. You get the celebrity stuff, yeah, but just getting to watch Links golf in early October or late September this time, it's the best. It's something great to wake up to, and you don't usually get many chances to do that except on the European Tour in the middle of the summer. So to be able to do it in the fall is cool. And then they're going to finish out, yeah, a little bit more money grabby. You know, the Turkish Airlines Open is an awkward tournament given where we're at with Turkey right now in terms of geopolitics. But the tournament is interesting. If you look at the Ned Bank Golf Challenge, it's been around forever. It isn't, again, isn't the greatest golf course in the world, Sun City Country Club, but, or Gary Player Country Club in Sun City in South Africa. But it is an interesting tournament every year. And then the DP World Tour Championship. Dubai is a dicey place to think about geopolitics, but the tournament is typically compelling, and the golf course, one of the few Greg Normans I find interesting at Jumeirah Golf Estates. So a lot of interesting golf still to come this year. None of it's going to feel like players are being forced to play, and I like that. And I will say all of that to say the Safeway Open this week is going to be really good. It's going to be two really good golf tournaments this week. I think there's something like 15 or 20 of the top 50 players in the world in the Safeway, which has continued to increase in profile. And I would be interested to see that tournament actually become one of the main year tournaments instead of the fall tournaments. I'd like to see it promoted if that were possible, if there were a spot open. I would like to see that happen. I don't know if there is one, but I would like to see it. So we got two really good tournaments this week. And then on the LPGA, we've got the Indy Women and Tech Championship at Brickyard Crossing Golf Club, which is a bit of a gimmicky golf course, if we're being honest with each other. But Lexi Thompson has a good track record in that tournament. So does Brooke Henderson. It plays out at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. So you kind of play inside the infield a little bit and then around. And I'm sure it'll be interesting to watch. It's usually a slugfest kind of shootout type deal in the years that they've had it. So plenty of good golf to come this week, and we had a really good tournament, actually a couple of really good tournaments this week. So we've been hashtag blessed to be able to get a little good golf at the early start of the fall. That's going to do it for us this edition of the Two Off the First podcast. Thanks for giving us a listen. If you listen to us through Apple Podcasts, please give us a 5-star review. It will help us reach more people, and we will talk to you on Tuesday.
When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat, and boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off-duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.